Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
I should start recording, shouldn't I?
That would probably be good. I bet everybody would appreciate that in post.
Yeah. Would appreciate
getting that recording going. Oh, hello, everyone. I'm Kimberly Adams. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we try to make today make sense.
And I am Megan McCarty-Carino, joining you today from my very special pantry closet studio. It's Happy Hour Friday, also known as Economics on Tap, and the live stream is up and running. Thank you to everyone for joining wherever you are finding us, whether it's the podcast or via the live YouTube stream.
Yes, and I have to say, for those who cannot see Megan because you're listening to the podcast
pantry
later,
vision.
The pantry angle is pretty awesome. And, you know, everybody gets to see a snapshot of where we are. I'm in my bedroom. Megan's in her pantry. This is our pandemic life. What are you drinking?
I am drinking a little G&T. It's pretty warm in my little pantry over here. So I went for something cool and refreshing. It's with some gin from a local distillery, LA distillery. It's called Mulholland Gin, a very delicate gin. Mm. I'm drinking with elderflower tonic. What about you?
That's pretty fancy. Gin is the devil. I'm drinking Cabernet.
Gin is definitely my most. It's on my top of the list. Wow. Gin is the devil. Okay. I know where we
gin
stand.
Gin is the devil. All right. Let's see what everybody else is drinking. Brett has a bourbon and Diet Coke. Matthew Carroll from St. Louis, I saw earlier, has carbonated water and high contact and contact high IPA. And yes, I see the comments on the full glass because it's Friday.
Fill her up.
I love it. I hope everyone is having a good Friday. I see Bacardi on the rocks in Discord. I hope everybody is having a nice, relaxing Friday, able to wind down, whether it's the end of your week or midway through your week, if you're working on the weekend. So, yeah, you know, we made it.
It's still happy hour, no matter what. Are you going to start us off today with the news? Going to do the news today first?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a quick hit and then one that is pretty related to what you've got. So I will just acknowledge the fact that the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, a.k.a. NOAA, who has recently issued a thunderstorm warning here in D.C., where I am right now, also sent out a notice today that it's official. July was Earth's hottest month on record. Mm-hmm. So it's not just climate change, it's global warming. Yeah. And we're all dealing with the consequences. Shout out to everybody in Oregon and the Northwest dealing with yet another heat wave. I saw a story today that here in DC we have this hiking trail called the Billy Goat Trail, which I overestimated my abilities one day and went ahead and hiked it, but it was a lot for me. But apparently they're telling people it's too hot to hike it because they keep having to rescue people from this trail for heat exhaustion.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, hottest month on record. And yeah.
And this is at
and not just in
like
your
1%
not just in your pantry.
Or 1 degree. I know. My pantry, I'm going to say, is it's like 10 degrees over normal in the pantry, but the IPCC report, right? It's like we're not even at 1.5 degrees Celsius yet. We're like, this is the type of warming we're having at the baby step up. Yeah.
Mm. But it's going to get worse. Yeah. Speaking of getting worse, on to COVID, you know, I have to say there is a reason that Ed Young at The Atlantic won a Pulitzer. That, I mean, such a good writer, such amazing work writing about the pandemic. And he has yet another amazing piece out called How the Pandemic Now Ends. basically looking at, given the Delta variant and everything we know now, what the next stages of the pandemic are going to look like, how we can prepare for it, what the optimistic outlook is, what's realistic. And just heading into the weekend, I've started feeling some kind of way when friends are inviting me to parties and want to hang out. And I'm just like, I don't know. And it was a very nice piece to read to just really feel like I had a wide-ranging assessment of where we are. Yeah. Yeah. And that, it made me really smart. And I was very grateful for that. So that's one thing. And then I also noticed this CNBC piece that talked about sort of the divide that is deepening in this country between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, and what those two groups can and cannot do, and that it's really causing some schisms. Some additional societal divide, because it was, you know, like, okay, if you choose not to get vaccinated, you're just harming yourself. But now we have information that you're harming everyone, and people are making really tough decisions. I mean, I know somebody who just stopped working with their hairdresser who they'd been going to for like 20 years because she doesn't want to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And people are going to start not being able to travel or go on certain vacations or to go on restaurants. It's a lot. So those were my two, and I think that segues pretty quickly into yours.
Well, I really just wanted to second that Ed Yong piece, if you have not checked it out. Anything Ed Yong writes is like right in that making you smart kind of vibe there.
I have to interrupt because Adam in the YouTube chat points out it's Friday the 13th. Which I totally didn't even notice.
Why did you have to point that out? I had blocked it from my mind, and now it's right there. Now I'm just like, okay, why don't I just mess up everything? Thanks so much, Adam.
Sorry.
Okay, back on track. I don't have, the Sword of Damocles hanging over me right now. Just think straight. I feel like we're in this phase of the pandemic now. Probably we should have anticipated a little bit more, but it's almost like the very beginning of the pandemic again. It's like April, May 2020, where we're sorting out how to navigate risk. And we're in this new landscape where we're just not totally sure how to navigate risk. And you know, as in that Ed Yong piece, you know, we're hopefully going to get to a point of endemicity where, the pandemic does end by becoming endemic. And it's no longer like this front and center thing in our lives. It's just kind of one of the other background things happening in our human condition, which is full of worries and risks and anxieties, but it's just one of many instead of the main one. But right now it is very much still the main one, which leads me to, I wanted to bring back up something we talked about last week, because I feel like the discourse is changing pretty fast around it. Mm. And that is the idea of booster shots. Today, the committee that advises the CDC approved booster shots for immunocompromised recommended that the CDC recommend booster shots for the immunocompromised. And, I just think this is a first step in kind of like moving this discourse forward of kind of what's the next thing. Booster shots are on the horizon. Yes, right now, I think the science is still very much out as to the degree to which third shots will be of a major benefit for those who are not immunocompromised. They may raise neutralizing antibodies as the previous shots did up to a certain level, but whether that will provide sterilizing immunity or long-term immunity from infection, I think is still unclear. But, I mean, just the fact that it's being talked about and it's being studied, despite all of the things that we talked about last week, all of the ethical issues with the supply of vaccine and the fact that I think less than 2% of people in developing world have gotten one dose of vaccine that this ball is rolling forward. And I have to say, I've had some impure thoughts. I want a booster. I want to go get a booster. I am not going to, cross the ethical line, But apparently, according to the CDC, they estimate that 1 million people have already gone and sort of gotten under the table booster shots at this point. I was reading, you know, some doctors on Twitter. One said his patient told him that he went and got 2 additional doses, which, okay, people, put the brakes on here. We need a little bit more information. Yeah. I understand that some of the inequities are already sort of baked into the system, unfortunately. You know, the U.S. has a really big supply of these vaccines. The Biden administration has already bought 200 million additional doses for children, of which I think there are about 50 million children who, you know, haven't been vaccinated. And so that is almost like the supply that we would need to do third booster shots. And we're seeing, obviously, Israel. We're seeing some data from there that preliminary data seems to show the vaccine effectiveness going up in the age group that got the third booster shot. But again, really want to stress that the science is not settled here on whether, you know, a temporary boost in neutralizing antibodies from a third shot is really going to be the thing that, you know, that gets us to the next, station.
Megan O'Hare in the YouTube chat says, you know, something about that, that she just read that 1 million vaccines have expired in the States. We need to do something with all the extra.
Right.
And I hadn't thought about like that. Is this something that should be done with the vaccines that are about to expire? But at the same time, I really get caught up in the ethics about, you know, our supply in the developing world. But if I can end this on an up note from that Ed Yong piece, there's one.
Yeah.
Quote in there that I'll read this one paragraph. Think of it this way: SARS-CoV-2, the virus, causes COVID-19, the disease, and it doesn't have to. Vaccination can disconnect the two. Vaccinated people will eventually inhale the virus but not become severely ill as a result. Some will have nasty symptoms but recover. Many will be blissfully unaware of their encounters. And then here's the quote from one of the scientists that he talked to. There will be a time in the future when life is like it was 2 years ago. You run up to someone, give them a hug, get an infection, go through half a box of tissues, and move on with your life. That's where we're headed.
I literally just got chills when you read that. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Great. It's great. Can't recommend the piece enough. But in the meantime, let's play a game.
All right.
This is half full, half empty, and I'm about almost to half full.
I'm still more than half full.
Look at you. This is where we give you our predictions on various topic, and Drew Jostad is here. What have you got for us, Drew?
Are you half full or half empty on the Field of Dreams game?
Oh.
Half full. It's gimmicky, but I kind of love it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that much about it other than that it exists. And I'm going to say half full because it's a nice, heartwarming thing.
Sorry, there's a boat outside.
Oh, I thought that was like a sound effect. Drew was dropping in there. I thought that was like, I thought we were going like morning radio here.
No, it's like bad answer, Megan. No,
I know.
And everyone points out that I mispronounced Ed Yong's name. Ed Yong, not Ed Young. Sorry. I think.
Oh.
I'm
the boat
just
has ideas about our discourse.
On that note, yes, the Field of Dreams game, they basically recreated the scene from the movie just for fun. I think Stephanie Hughes, if I'm not mistaken, our colleague, did a story on that. And, you know, it's a way to sort of drum up some interest. And a lot of people have stopped going to games. And so it's, you know, it's just a nice, fun thing. I kind of love it. I'm half full.
I mean, why would someone be
and
half
I wonder
empty
what
on
other...
that?
Hmm?
Why would someone be half empty on that? I don't know why.
I mean, because it's gimmicky, maybe, but I also wonder, like, what other fictional games do we need to see recreated just for our own entertainment?
That's a good one.
Drew, do
I
you
think
have
that's
any?
A call out.
No.
No. Okay.
I don't know. Like the. I don't know. The whole point was they had the cornfield and everything, right?
Right.
It was like,
yeah. That's true.
If you
that's
build
true.
It, they will come.
And Kevin Costner was there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Next topic is micro weddings.
Oh, I'm going to go half full on that because I had a micro wedding.
Did you really?
But it was kind of like a planned elopement with just a very, very small group of just like my parents and my two best friends, and same with my husband.
Yeah, I'm guessing this is people getting tired of waiting for non-COVID to get married. Yeah. And we did do a story the other day on Marketplace Morning Report about how like all the wedding venues are booked up for 2022. Ooh. And it's super expensive to do anything. So I'm going to go half full too. I think it's adorbs. And
it's so hard to like plan a big wedding right now. Things are in flux still.
Yes. Having had to plan a wedding that got, at some point you just have to realize it's not about you.
Yeah.
All right. What's the next one?
Next topic is universal pre-K.
Half full. All the
Definitely
way full.
Half
all
full.
The way full.
Yes.
Is there a particular story?
All I have is that the Senate Democrats' $3.5 trillion spending proposal includes an expansion of federally funded universal pre-kindergarten.
So this is part of the kind of infrastructure of care package, which is maybe not in with the infrastructure bill that is already decided on. This is kind of further
right.
Down
this is
the road.
In the budget resolution, the thing that they could potentially pass in the Senate without any Republican support. And there's this big sort of negotiation happening over whether, some of the progressive Democrats are going to hold up the infrastructure bill while they force a vote on the budget reconciliation. And that's going to be playing out over the next couple weeks. So, maybe it'll end up in
so
there
outlook
or
on
not,
there,
but there's...
Outlook half full?
I'm going to go half full. Outlook? There's a ton of research showing that it makes a huge difference for people. And one of the main things sort of holding up our recovery right now is a lack of childcare for many parents, especially low-wage workers. Oh, you're the workplace culture reporter. You talk about it.
still, there's this kind of... so many child care centers closed down during the pandemic and have not reopened. There are massive issues with back to school. And if you saw, schools in Mississippi are already closing down, like hundreds of kids are quarantined already. The issue of child care has not gone anywhere. And if anything, it's almost gotten worse right now.
We have some comments in the YouTube chat about who pays for universal pre-K. Stuff isn't free, hence it's in legislation with money attached to it. And also, Gene Hobbs points out, what about all the small businesses that currently provide preschool? It's mostly women. Yeah, those are all things that would have to be included in some sort of package. How do you fold those folks into it? Is it a voucher thing? I don't know. And I would be very interested to find out because there is a lot of data showing that it helps kids a lot and low-income families in particular. What's the next one?
Well, I think we got an idea of how Megan feels about this already, but are you half full or half empty on Friday the 13th?
I mean, I don't want to be superstitious, but I did have a little bit of trepidation about the show because of that.
As the thunder rolls.
But in terms of
here.
The Jodie Foster movie, I'm going to go half full.
What?
Like the old Disney movie. Is it an old Jodie Foster movie?
Right. I'm half full. I kind of like stuff like that. I used to have a black cat, and he was wonderful. And I was that kid who would purposefully walk underneath ladders and step on cracks and open umbrellas indoors
you
just to be ornery. So I know, right? Half full.
All right.
That was eight half fulls today.
So how many full? Ooh. I know, that's like, that's
we
like
have
two
a positive
whole
outlook on life. Look at us.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
Okay. I'm here. I'm here for it. Absolutely. Man, that just flew by. Thanks, Drew.
Not bad. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, that's it for us today. Molly and Kai will be back next week, so you guys are done with me. I hope it's been a lot of fun. I've had fun with Megan and with Andy. This has been good times for all. They would love to hear from you, and I think that Kai and Molly don't always listen when they're out of town because they're trying to, you know, have a little
as
break.
They should.
So you may need to update them, and you can tattle on us for all the things that we did. If you have a thought on a previous show you want to send them, or a question you want to ask, or maybe you have your own answer to the Make Me Smart question, you can send a voice memo or an email to makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can call us. Our number is 508-827-6278, which is 508-UB-SMART.
Whew, I am getting, like, there's like sweat dripping down my back at this point.
Here. It's hot.
All right, Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today's episode was engineered by Liana Squalace. Stephen Bian and Catherine Devine produce our favorite game, Half Full, Half Empty, which today was so very, very full. And they also produce the YouTube live stream.
Right. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner, and the executive director of On Demand is Satara Nieves. And Megan, there's all sorts of nice notes in the chat for us and saying goodbye and stuff.
I will miss being in the pantry with you guys.
Debbie says that Megan is having a Kai in the shed moment.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.